Hello and welcome to a special edition of the In the Money Players podcast. This is our show for Sunday, September 19th, and it might as well be. You know what? I'm just going to do this on the fly. It's a co-production with Baby Talk. We haven't had a Baby Talk in a minute. Sean Tugel of Gainsway, our partner on those shows, he's been real busy down at the Keeneland Sales, understandably. So we're going to do a hybrid show since I think four of the six races we're going to be talking on the show are two-year-old races. So we'll give Gainsway a little off the goalpost sponsorship for this one. Sean's down in Kentucky. We won't have him, but in his stead, we have our resident Woodbine expert from InTheMoneyPodcast.com. He is Drew Coatney. Drew, how are things?
I'm doing good. We had a great day yesterday watching some winners get home. And my goodness, if we could have got down on Walton at 4-5, I would have. As they entered the gate, the horse was at 2-5, and it continued to climb up until the gates popped, getting almost back up to even money. So fixed odds, wherever you are, please come and find us as soon as possible. One of those rare situations where the odds continue to drift up, and if you're going to make a significant bet, you know, those couple clicks really matter at the end of the day when you're looking at
it. Oh, it's a huge difference. The difference between 3-5 and 4-5 is your ability to be a winning player in the long haul. I mean, and the difference doesn't even have to be that significant. Yeah, it was trading even money early in the day in the UK. A lot of viewers on Sky Sports got on. There was 4-5 widely available. By the time I got on, was a little lower than that. I ended up getting a little too cute by half in that race. But Walton Street, much the best. Charlie Appleby, who we'll be talking about in a little bit, just continuing his amazing display, coming over and nabbing valuable prizes from all over North America. Well, Woodbine and Belmont, at least. We may see that movie again later this afternoon. It was a great day of racing, some very exciting stuff. And yeah, you want to talk about fixed odds and its importance. How about the winner of the Woodbine Mile going into the gate? 20-1, paying 8-1. Not going to be an easy thing to market to people in a sports betting world.
Yeah, no, it was it was quite the sham. And it also hurts optics when the horse is loose and on the lead and it continues to drop in price. Not to say anything nefarious happened, but...
No, nothing nefarious did happen. I mean, in the fixed odds betting, the winner was 6-1. I mean, the horse was bet significantly off the incredibly obvious pace angle that we discussed at length. But I agree, in terms of optics, it ain't good. And it was just frustrating to me to you know, I didn't even... At that price, it was just one of those things. At that price, I didn't even mention the horse on air, despite saying I think this horse will make the lead. And I feel bad that we're not giving Town Cruise his due, because what a great story. And we should be talking about him by name. And there's more to this certainly than me advancing my agenda about what I think is maybe a better form of betting to include along with our parimutuel wagering going forward. But Town Cruise, great story, impressive winner, Walton Street as well. But that was yesterday, and this is today, my friend. And we've got six races we're going to talk about. We don't have all the time in the world to do it. We're going to start off with race number 3. Today, 2:25 Eastern, 5 furlongs on the turf. We've got the Ontario Racing 2-year-old stake, and I'm very curious to get your thoughts about who's going to win this.
Yeah, we'll start here, and then we'll back up one race after we're done talking about this. So I'm with the number 4, Diamond City. It's kind of easy to look and say this one might be a speed and fade type, but on debut, got sloppy down the lane after setting those hot fractions, kind of lugging in all over the place, shying from the whip. And then last out set hot fractions again on the wrong surface, but was able to run so much more efficiently down the lane. I think this horse might just get loose and that becomes sort of a turf sprinting monster. It kind of is trending that way. So I'm excited to see that runner go, because I just love seeing that ability continue to climb as you are, especially down the lane, get lugging in, and then all of a sudden that issue's gone. To me, it signals this horse is making steps forward, and that bullet workout last out on September 11th doesn't hurt either. So the speed will hold, and that might be a theme for the rest of the day today.
Okay, you and I are on the same runner here. Diamond City, third behind First Empire. We'll talk about him a little bit later. Future stakes winner at First Asking, and then just seemed to me to get tired going the 7/8. Looks like a great candidate for the cutback, all the reasons you said. It's Diamond City for me in the fourth, but you had an inch in the third, rather, number four in race three. But you said you had a horse you wanted to link Diamond City to in race number two. Why don't you give us that one real quick?
Yeah, that would be the number two, Tofin. I just think this horse will get loose very easily. 6.5 furlongs going just the one turn. We'll be able to use that speed efficiently throughout. Should get a ground saving trip. I don't see much trouble drawn to the inside at all. So at 5-2 morning line, would expect that to drift down a little bit. But if we can get anything in the double market at call it 7-6-1, that feels like good value to us.
Okay, little double there from Drew to get things started early in the Woodbine card. Let's fast forward to the last five races. We talked about all the two-year-old action. We got 3 2-year-old stakes in a row, starting with race number 7, 4:33 Eastern, 5 furlongs on the turf for these two-year-old fillies in the Woodbine Cares Stakes with $125,000 in the pot. I really like number 5, Fulminate, in this race. That was a very impressive win, I thought, on debut. And then went a little bit too fast on ground softer than she prefers against decent company. I felt like Fulminate had a big chance to prove the best of speed. Just doing my race design, I wanted to mention the 3 5th anniversary as a possible B. My knock on 5th anniversary, though, and the reason ultimately I'm not going to put on the A line, I have become pretty devoted to the genetic strength rating on Equine Edge when it comes to horses doing something different. And this one, according to GSR, supposed to be much better on the synthetic than on the turf. So I'm going to back her up to a B, 5th anniversary, play Fulminate as an A. How do you see it?
Yeah, I'm with you on the number 5, Fulminate. I think speed is so dangerous on these inner turf races. We didn't see too much yesterday. And it's just hard to make up ground on those inner turns, especially with these younger horses here. So I agree that that Saratoga Bog that this Fulminate ran over was a tough one. So I think we can get back to that foundation that we saw at Gulfstream. Gets the Lasix for the first time and top riding jockey. So I think number 5 gets loose and easy. So we're in agreement on that.
Okay. Any others to mention for you in this race?
No, I think there's a lot of like what if pace scenarios unfold. I think I'm just grabbing the bull by the horns and saying, where's the speed and let's go on with it, especially in these younger races.
I have no problem with that. Let's talk about grade one action. Winning your in action for the Breeders' Cup, juvenile fillies turf in the Natalma Stakes. We're going 1 mile with 400,000 in the pot. And I'm going to let you kick this one off.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to be in agreement all day. Number 2, Pizza Bianca, owned by Bobby Flay. Haven't seen one of his horses in a while here. Just ran super impressive, like so workmanlike. If you want to see a workmanlike replay, go watch number 2, Pizza Bianca. Yeah, I did get a little bit of a pace setup, but still, the time came back fast. And today should get something similar, not too dissimilar. And I just feel like a lot of these horses here, Diabolical, Mrs. Barbara, I just don't see them jumping up too much, as we've already seen a couple races. The one question mark for me, and I'll let you comment on, is number 5, Wild Beauty. The time form figures look kind of in the mid-70s, which is you'd expect a couple points higher in the higher 80s. So I'm not sure why that one's installed at the morning line, but maybe you can shed some light on the import number 5.
Definitely an A. I mean, Wild Beauty, to me, just very obvious claims on form. Those are good races, better than what she's facing here. And then look at the trainer, Charlie Appleby. All this guy does is come here and plunder grade one prizes. I like the one in the Colts race even better. But I mean, Wild Beauty is a must-use, obvious A. I'd be shocked if she doesn't run well. She's one of my A's. I actually made my top pick, and this will come down to price, but I made my top pick the one Ready Lady from that Fipke family that I love. Her sister, Lady Spite Spear, won this race last year. That was her second start. She improved her buyer speed figure 5 points. If sister Ready Lady does similar, she's going to go close. It's interesting seeing Emma Jane here, not Gallardo. I don't know if there's signal in that. I don't know. You know, sometimes there's stories. Oh, Emma was supposed to ride, but XYZ and Gallardo picked up the mount, but it was always going to be Emma going forward. Or maybe Gallardo picked Diabolique or Diabolic instead of Ready Lady. That would be a negative. I don't really like the 7. I was going to fade despite the fact of her being 3 for 3. At the prices on the stretch out, I'm going to make her prove it to me. maybe Gallardo and his agent know more than me, and I'm going to get sand kicked in my face, but I'm willing to fade that one. Again, we talked about GSR, Ready Lady, supposed to improve for this distance, supposed to improve second out for Atfield. Again, love the female family. Number one, Ready Lady, I love. I also love number five, Wild Beauty. Pizza Bianca, I'm not going to argue with you, definitely look good on debut. I just thought the figure came back a little light, and I think she's going to catch all kinds of money. So I was going to go 1-5 against your two here in race number eight. Any other thoughts on the Natalma?
No, yeah. If this one comes down below even money, I'm searching elsewhere. Like, this could be a great example of you have to let some winners pass you by, especially with this one, the unexposed form and the untapped potential of the rest of them potentially. So, I'm somewhat in agreement with you and seeing this as a better picture now.
All right, let's take a look. When the prices come around. Obviously, all kinds of stuff. To determine between now and then, as far as the Natalma goes, let's move on to the boys' version of the race, the Grade One Summer, 1 mile on a turf for these two-year-olds. Once again, win and you're in action for the Breeders' Cup. And to me, this is just a really straightforward two against the field situation. The four, Al Bahir, looks fantastic. I really like this form. I love the fact that he's shown he can go left-handed. I simply see no holes in this runner for the Godolphin, Frankie, Appleby team, going to be very, very dangerous at what I would imagine is a short price. But I am going to leave First Empire in the mix, particularly if we get any kind of a form boost from our runner back in race number three, who ran against this one. But in any case, First Empire had the good figure, 80 on the buyer speed figure scale last time, could be loose on the front end. I like the 4 and the 8 against the field. And while I'm hammering on about GSR, one of the biggest GSR edges I've ever seen in terms of these two against the field. They both have GSRs in the mid-80s, and the next highest is a 67. I'll play exactas. I'll just run everything through these two in the summer. What do you think?
Yeah, my opinion gets even more narrow with just the number 4, Al Bahir. I think if you look at Wild Beauty's time form figs, Al Bahir is like 10, 15 points higher everywhere. And I was trying to imagine a pace scenario in my head, and it kind of sat back and said, well, it's Frankie. Let him do what he wants to do. He knows, he'll know this horse. He's the goat. So why even question what he's going to do here? So I'm not too worried about the ride we're going to get. And yeah, even money feels like good value to me on this horse. I think one horse that's going to take money though, Pete, is the number 3, Grafton Street. A lot of buzz going around this horse, wasn't able to fire well on debut, having to go on the wrong surface. Now comes up here to Woodbine for Cassie. I think that one is actually going to come down to probably like 4-1, 5-1, I'd guess, and take a pretty good beating in the market.
A lot of hype on that one. And this is a case for me where I can see it. I see the workouts. I understand that he was well regarded. But this is just an opportunity for me where I'm going to fade the narrative against two horses that I take really seriously. If I didn't like the top two that I have here so much, I would probably, based on the whispers, try to get alive to Grafton Street and some longer picks where maybe some of that 10-1 of the morning line would be preserved. But the way I see this one, I have a strong enough opinion. I'm just fading and moving on. So you just, in your official picks, you just want the 4 here in the summer?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, let's move on then to the last two races we're going to talk about on this card. They close out the pick 4. Of course, we love these rolling doubles with very competitive takeouts along the way at Woodbine. I know we'll be getting involved in those. Race number 10, 6:12 Eastern. We're 6 furlongs on the synth. And there were a couple I wanted to use in here in this optional claiming 40. I thought that the 2 combative was interesting. This is the third race off the bench, and the form of that last race working out really well, having produced 3 winners. I think the condition arrow, as we call it around here, is pointed straight up on combative. You know, not the world's most clever pick, going to be one of the favorites, but that's who I like on top. And then another, I'm not going to get any prizes for creativity with my handicapping in Woodbine's 10th, but number 4, Last American Exit. Just look to have the most finish of the one signed on here, looking at closing sectionals, and another that I wanted to use. I'll be playing some picks, some longer picks late on this Woodbine card, trying to get through race 10 with the 2 and the 4. What do you think?
completely pulled a JK here and got stuck on mute. Sorry about that.
That's okay. We honor JK when we get stuck on mute. I was wondering if I lost you, and I was cursing you because I really didn't want to edit this show because I really need to post it and run. But you go ahead.
Oh, I know good pranks to pull on you now when we're running short of time. Pretend like I got stuck on mute and you got lost you. Okay, so anyways, back to it, though. I just think that number two, Khabanov, is going to win this race, right? Best speed. Last American Exit needs a little bit longer to close into, and there's no pressure, pace pressure to really run into. I mean, do you see anything on time form that says otherwise, that maybe Executive Search can get out there in pressure? But I just see the number two winning this race again. I feel like I need to be a bit more spready in this spot, but...
He's not clear on time form. They've got Silence Breakers also up there, and then also maybe the most dangerous of them on the cutback, Executive Search, if he can lay close. But I was just thinking that Khabanov could prove to be the best of speed, or potentially if somebody wants to go on a mission, Kimura, I trust him. I really like the way he rides around there. I think there's a world in which if somebody wants to go, he can flop outside. I didn't mention Kimura specifically, but that was part of why I like Khabanov so much, is I just trust him to make all the right decisions around Woodbine. I'm sure as somebody who follows closely, you're going to agree with me on that one.
Yeah. 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 So I'm going to use Khabanov, and based on some of the intel you just gave me, the number six, Super Classy as well. Being able to close into the sharp five and a halfs are pretty impressive. So has laid a bit of the foundation we've seen. So number six, Super Classy, is a backup for me. And then number five, Executive Search, to use your term. I feel like this one shoves me in a locker multiple times in a given meet. So I'm going to use the number five.
He's only won the once, so he can't have shoved you in the locker that often. You know, because I don't use that for a horse that I bet that doesn't come through. I use that for the horse that comes up and, you know, grabs me from behind and throws me in the locker. So I'm guessing it was only the once.
Dunce cap, maybe, is a better term, because I'll be on the horse. I'll be really high on it. You get the idea.
Your bet noir. I don't know. We'll have to come up with a term for that. But are you using or fading in this spot?
We're using. So 5-6 are the backups with a lone A is the number two for me.
So the two is an A with the 5 and 6 as backups for Drew in race number 10. And that brings us to the race that we're going to close on today. Race number 11, 642. We're going 1/16 on the synth in the maiden optional, claiming 40 ranks. And Drew, we're going to let you kick this one off. I was a little spready, nothing wildly creative, but I had three runners I was going to try to get alive to. But let's hear how you see it.
Yeah, I love this race here. Number two, Blast in the Snow. Last out was drawn wide in the parking lot and was able to close well, has already proven to be able to get the distance, and two back set, 3 or 4 lengths off that front running pack and slow pace, and made that move in the final turn, going widest of all around the 5-6 path, and then flattened as the ground loss and pace flow is too much. So in a little bit better spot here, ground saving trip, I think the number two, Blast and Snow, is easy to trust in. I'm also going to go to the outside. Number 13, Frosty Breeze. The Breeze Easy Stable Group is putting this one up for the first tag. I would guess that price is going to drift down too for this $250,000 purchase. Quite the cut in price there for them. But I think this one should be able to work out a decent trip. Just has it just a little bit too high of class. We'll be able to lay closer to it and get the job done. And then the number 11, I'm All Alone. Could just be speed. We'll see how the sprint to route goes. You have to wonder why we haven't seen this horse all meet and now time to debut. So maybe they were really working and waiting on something, or maybe this is kind of them throwing their hands up in the air and saying, we just can't get anything figured out. So I'm on those three horses, all A's for me. I think it's really hard to separate those three for me in my head.
We've got two of the three runners we're using. And yeah, at this level, I mean, I think people just run them where they think they can win. You know, I mean, I do get nervous sometimes with a runner like In All Alone when you see the flashy looking work two back and they're available for 40. I do wonder sometimes, I know that's a Benny South Street angle, that's like a big blinking for sale sign that he doesn't like. I did make the 11 In All Alone as my top pick. Just one of my favorite old angles, a dropper with speed who looks like could be the best speed and should have improved in theory from the last time seen on the racetrack 300 days ago. I was also with you on Blast in the Snow, comparatively unexposed to this group, and I thought ran pretty well last time, given the proximity to a fast early gallop, as you detailed in your earlier remarks. But I was also going to use the 8 Alpha Predator, who finished ahead of Blast in the Snow last time. I did think Blast in the Snow, I think he can make a wise guy argument that he ran better, given the pace dynamics, and Alpha Predator more sucking up. But going this mile in a 16th, in a race where, you know, there's not a ton of finishing ability, Alpha Predator has shown some finishing ability. Looks all right on the closing sectionals. I'm going to leave in there 11, 2, and 8 for me. 2, 13, and 11 for Drew to close things out. Drew, been seeing a lot of nice comments about the work you've done throughout this Woodbine meet. You know, you're one of the people, when I'm handicapping Woodbine, I always want to read your analysis to see what you pick up on. You come up with all kinds of good stuff in your written analysis and also on these shows. And it looks like, too early to talk about, but it looks like maybe, just maybe, we can be expanding our Woodbine coverage and doing a little bit more for their racing coming up in October and November. More Drew Cotney analyzing Woodbine. That makes me happy. Let's keep our fingers crossed that that comes to fruition.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It feels like the season is just getting kicked off. It's just amazing how much of a product these folks put on. And I'm really excited to play some doubles today. With these short prices, you can really get stuck into some decent value in those double markets, trying to eke out extra profits than just wading into the wind pool. So be on the lookout for some of those good pools like Pizza Bianchi into Alba here or whoever you like. I think, again, there's just going to be some decent value. So I'm excited for a great day of racing. We've got beautiful weather here, heading down to West Virginia, getting some golf in and watching some racing later today.
Oh, that sounds like a fantastic day out. I didn't realize that. Love it. Well, we'll let you hit the road. I will just underline your point about the doubles, an underrated betting pool. And I'll just give a couple of reasons why. Well, at Woodbine, you do very well with the takeout in the double. With those double probables, you can have a very good idea of what you're getting. It doesn't require any advanced math to really figure out your risk and reward. You can do things in terms of varying your betting amounts pretty easily, where you can use some Dutch principles. But then the other like sneaky reason I think the double is such a good bet is the pools are, it's kind of funny. Usually you want to bet in as big a pool as possible. With the doubles, sometimes the smallness of the pool can work to your advantage. You'll get some owner who just has a runner in each half of the race and, you know, overbets the pot, $1,000 double or something, and it'll just completely skew the pool and create value everywhere else. Because of those will pays, because of those probables, you can look and know when that's happening and know when you have a chance to get the best of it. Anyway, just a few other reasons to underline Drew's excellent point about getting involved in the doubles. We're going to thank him one more time. We're going to thank our friends at Woodbine one more time for having us do all this extra content. We're going to be back during the week. A lot of great stuff to come over on In the Money Media. If you like extra shows like this, you can't get enough of content when it comes to horse racing, I highly recommend you check out our In the Money Plus service, inthemoneypodcast.com/plus, to learn more about that. Extra shows, digests of picks, special written content around racing's biggest events. And I really want to encourage everybody to participate in the final edition of the regular season of Horse Player Happy Hour. Game should go live Monday or Tuesday. Horseplayers.com is the place to sign up. It benefits charity, and you have still a chance to get yourself a shot at this added to the prize pool at no cost to players. $10,000 Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge seat. That's going to do it. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is that guy over there, Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin, hoping to hear his voice on the network once again this week. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.